into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. New normal, same old football. Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
So I had a big old intro prepared. I was going to tell you about the events of the day. I was going to tell you that protesters had converged on Stamford Bridge ahead of Chelsea and Brighton. I was going to tell you that the Brighton players were going to wear the Earn It t-shirts that Leeds players wore last night. In fact, all of the other 14 clubs players were going to wear those t-shirts for the rest of the season. I was going to tell you at board level, the 14 Premier League clubs met today virtually and they were promising the big six would be held to account, that Jordan Henderson was calling a meeting of club captains, that Amazon had come out earlier in the day to come out against the Super League. No discussions, we love the fans type stuff, we're not going to be part of this. I was going to tell you Boris Johnson had vowed to block this Super League, and as we know, that man's word is his bond. I was going to tell you Alexander Seferin had told the Dirty Dozen, you've made a big mistake, but there is still time to change your mind. And we were wondering who might crack first. Now, this notion that when one goes, they would all go was explored last night on Monday Night Football. It turns out Carragher and Neville were close. Man City were second. In fact, it was Chelsea first.
And I think the six clubs we're talking about, and we've criticised, and everyone's against them, their own players are against them, their own supporters are against them, it just needs one. As soon as one drops out of this or starts getting second thoughts, I think a lot of it goes. You just need one club.
Manchester City will go. Manchester City will go. Why do the Abu Dhabi people who are trying to do this for reputation around the world, who've invested in communities all around the world to build excellent football clubs, build a network of football? I was doubtful of them coming into Manchester all those years ago. What they've done to that east side of Manchester is a joke. It's awe-inspiring. It's unbelievable what they've done. The best stadiums, the best facilities, the best training grounds. They've built houses, they've built a whole area. They've created a legacy around there. They've done it for marketing and PR purposes, you could argue, and that they've done it for what would be establishing themselves as a global presence. Why do they need this? They don't need extra money. They don't need extra 50 million a year. They need to actually, to be fair, convert themselves into people who are accepted around the world as sporting people. They've got Pep Guardiola, the most amazing manager. They've created a football team, which is unbelievable. The footballers that I've never seen before in my life all playing in the same team together. City must fold. Because these two, by the way, that we support, they're gone. Manchester City don't want this. They can't need this.
Well, they were almost right. Sam Lee covers Man City for The Athletic. Sam, we were going to bring you on to say, well, Neville, Carragher, they reckon City are the chink. It turns out it was Chelsea, quickly followed by Man City. I haven't looked at a website in the last 10 seconds, so things may have changed. What's the latest?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not just saying this because I cover City. I've got no skin in the game, really. As far as I'm concerned, all clubs made a bad decision, a terrible decision, a bit of a betrayal to go with it in the first place. So I've got no interest in this. But apparently, you know, Chelsea's withdrawal was reported first, but apparently, and look, we're just kind of sifting through this now, apparently City were the ones to go first. But
right.
I mean, I suppose it doesn't matter too much, does it? I suppose it looks like it's done now. There's reports as well in Spain that Atletico Madrid are pulling out as well. So it looks like it's done.
What a sham.
I guess.
What an embarrassment.
Yeah, shambles.
What a shambles,
I know, like, not even holding it together enough in, you know, we said the other day, oh, maybe it's a bluff and maybe they're just doing it to get whatever from UEFA, get their own way, but they've not even been able to hold it together long enough to get that. They're probably worse off than when they started.
Well, I think that's the really interesting point as well. So we're talking about this as like a game of poker and this was their first hand and they went all in. They have now exposed the inherent weakness amongst them. I mean, their power has dwindled now to like down to embarrassment. Can you imagine them trying to muster this up again? Because everybody now knows that the bonds that tie them together are weak as hell. It took, you know, Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher going to town and Alexander Seferin saying some mean things about everyone. And, you know, that was kind of that, really. I mean, so brinksmanship it may have been, but actually they've exposed themselves as not much to worry about.
Yeah, and also, like, what could possibly be on the table in future for them to try and do this kind of breakaway league and have a better reaction from, you know, Carragher, Neville, and just, you know, fans. You know, fans turning up outside City who stuck by them through all the FFP stuff and everything else that gets thrown at the club, you know, with bedsheets saying RIP Man City on straight away. This was, you know, this was when the club was supposed to be getting £300 million and play against the best teams in the world all the time. What could they possibly offer in future that would make them fans think, oh yeah, okay, crack on? Like, it surely can't be tabled again, anything like this. I mean, there's a million questions about what happens now. And I hope, to be fair, as much as we say they've got no power now and we're kind of reveling in that, I do hope that these clubs do have enough about them to change what UEFA wanted from the Champions League, because that reform was kind of waved through. And it was arguably worse in terms of the layout and the competition, in terms of the quality of the games. The UEFA Champions League reform is arguably worse than what the Super League
It's horrible. Like, the new 36-team Champions League group stage mess is an abomination. And also, I mean, tucked in at the back of it, there are two spots held back for teams with European pedigree, you know, which is very much what was so egregious, I suppose, about the Super League plan in many ways. So they have held back two spots for instance, I would presume Liverpool. If Liverpool don't make the Champions League spot this year, who has more pedigree than Liverpool? So they'll wangle away into the back door of the Champions League from 2024 onwards. I mean, next season, I think, is the final year of the current version. But were history to repeat itself, were Liverpool to have a similar season or United to bomb next season, then there are two spots being held in reserve for teams with European pedigree. And we're not talking Nottingham Forest.
Like, I mean, obviously, that's the non-competitive element, which is the same as the Super League. But just, you know, Man City in particular... Man City play Shakhtar Donetsk at home in the Champions League every year. Even, you know, Borussia Mönchengladbach, that was the last 16 and there was no real jeopardy there. But there'd be more of those games in these UEFA reforms.
There would.
Like, they've obviously bloated it out, and that doesn't really appeal to anyone anyway. But it went under the radar because nobody was kind of mobilised to care enough. But with the Super League, they have been. So hopefully now everyone's paying attention enough and these Champions League reforms off the table as well. But like we say, who knows? Because who's got the bargaining power now, really?
Well, I did hear a lot of
back to UEFA?
A lot of people. Apologies, I think there's a slight delay here. We'll make do. I did hear a lot of people on various radio stations and podcasts and you name it over the last couple of days saying, "Oh, Man United against Real Madrid every year. Who wants to watch that?" I didn't think that was the strongest point in the world, next to, as you said, Man City against Shakhtar forever.
Like anybody against anybody forever is. Is not enough. But the big thing about that, sorry, I was wrestling with the delay a little there, but the big thing about that is you can't manufacture big games. If you are playing Real Madrid every year, then it doesn't matter. If you get drawn against them once every 3 or 4 years, every 5 years, every 8 years, great. But even in the Premier League, big games are big games. You can't force it because you're playing against a big team. The big games, that's the natural thing about football, which clearly these, you know, the people who cooked it up, they don't understand. Or, you know, maybe we don't understand. Maybe what they want is to appeal to the kids who'd rather play Fortnite and just have them playing, you know, Mbappe playing Haaland every week, whatever. Maybe that works. But as fans go into the game, you know, you pay your money, because either you go into a new place, which you wouldn't have so much, like Milan twice a year, it doesn't sound too bad, but actually after a couple of seasons, like diehard fans that I know, that's a bad thing, going to Milan twice a year. Like, it's, you don't want to be doing it all the time. And then the games, you don't have that jeopardy. But also, even with the Super League, there's going to be a mid-table. There's going to be, well, you would say relegation places. So there's going to be games that don't matter, but there is no relegation, of course. So if you're finishing towards the bottom, but for argument's sake, let's say Arsenal, because they're not particularly good anyway.
Yeah.
If they were towards the bottom of this, but then they're in the Premier League and they needed to finish better off in the Premier League, or let's say they wanted to win the FA Cup, they'd start playing reserves in the Super League. So it was nowhere near as like kind of holy grail-like as Florentino Perez was was arguing.
No, it's true. I guess
I don't think it's fallen apart on sporting ground. It's fallen apart for other reasons, but just thank goodness it has.
Yes, I guess the redeeming quality of all of these various iterations of a European competition is that the knockout stages are and will continue to be absolutely box office, and that's where, you know, there's jeopardy and everything you want, and we kind of endure the group stages in whatever form they take. Yes. I'm kind of curious, Sam, to get your sense. This is a tough question to answer, but like, so something has kind of started here in these 48 hours, like, in part because Gary Neville happened to be on TV and went viral, and then Monday Night Football is such an institution. And like, when you think he went to town on the Glazers, for instance, to use one example, and we could expand this to several other teams, but he went to town on the Glazers and said he felt complicit for saying nothing for a long time. And, you know, they won't even paint the stadium and like leveraged buyout, and they've taken money from the club year after year after year, hundreds of millions. And, you know, they need booting out of the club and they need booting out of the country. Now, it's kind of hard to imagine that Gary Neville just goes back to talking about United's back four in a week. So you wonder if something's been let out of the bottle here. I know, like, we're all reacting on the hoof here, but that my first thought last night was, well, even when this European Super League dies, which I was sure it would for various reasons, like, scavengers is the word to use, you know? So this is going to be very interesting to see where these owners go and the reception at the clubs for these owners. Like, I suspect we're going to see some of those green and yellow scarves again at Old Trafford, for one.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. But then again, that didn't get United very far anyway, did it? No. 10 years ago. And I must say, I was part of that. Like, in my younger days, I was very much part of that movement.
But you didn't have the Gary Neville, et cetera, club screaming.
No, true. And also, I suppose it has joined fans together, hasn't it? You know, City fans were happy to see James Milner. Like, James Milner was one of their least favourite players. Obviously, he played for them and went to Liverpool, and that relationship's kind of soured. But, you know, City fans were happy to see United fans protesting. And, you know, Liverpool fans were happy to see Chelsea fans protesting and whatever. It kind of mobilised everybody in a way that brought down these club barriers in a way that's never been done before. And, yeah, you would hope that stays now. And it is a difficult question to answer, because I do think that, you know, City fans, for example, were livid at this. And, you know, like, they turned on the club instantly in a way that they never did, like I said earlier on, with regard to anything else. It was like, this is the first bad thing they'd ever done. And it was zero tolerance. But obviously now they've pulled out, I think there's a bit more of, oh, well, they've done the right thing after all. And obviously when you love someone, you won't focus on the fact that, oh, they did the bad thing. You know, some fans for sure will be, they did the bad thing and okay, they've done the right thing, but they need to make up for it. But a lot will, you know, forgive and forget straight away. Obviously, as for United, I mean, look, I haven't checked in 15 minutes. Maybe United have pulled out, but they probably haven't as one of the driving forces behind this. So it will be interesting. But the other side of it is, if they didn't care, and, you know, obviously we knew from what Cheffrin said, and I mean, maybe he's not telling the truth because he did lay it on a bit thick, but he said that Ed Woodward lied to his face last week and said all the reforms were fine, and obviously he didn't care because he was going to go and do the Super League. But if they didn't care about that, and they didn't care about the fan reaction anyway, and they were just going to kind of ride it out and push it through, will they really care about fans, you know, doing the green and gold scarf protest again, which again was, you know, more than 10 years ago now, and it didn't matter then. So I don't know. In football, these things, they have a habit of blowing over. And like, as soon as there's actually a football match to put in front of people, even if City hadn't pulled out now, I was always waiting to see how what it would be like against Villa on Wednesday. Because I always thought, look, City are obviously still in this title race. Fans were a bit nervous because they're losing the Leeds game and to Chelsea at the weekend. But as soon as you put a football match in front of people again, it does bring them back in. Because at the end of the day, that's what people love for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And I think that will be the case in future as well. I think it will be hard for anybody to get these owners out.
Yeah, I think
there's still money in it for them.
I think that's true. And ultimately, you know, Liverpool fans will say they support Klopp and the lads. That's what they love. Yes, that's absolutely who their connection is with. And maybe John Henry's name is a little bit sullied on Merseyside for years to come. And John Henry, I think, will get over that somehow. On Man City, was your sense that they, I mean, they don't seem to have been portrayed as leaders in all this. They just went along with it when it seemed to kind of reach a critical mass, and they said, okay, well, if everyone else is in, we're in. Is that your sense of where they are on this whole thing?
Yeah, and like, again, don't get me wrong, I'm not sticking up for them at all, because the whole idea, which, you know, that's my information and it's the information that's been widely reported, that is that by Friday over the weekend, but I think it was Friday, they were basically backed into a corner and, you know, they made a decision on the hoof. But like I say, that's not me sticking up for them, because if you didn't like it, don't go along with it. So that was the situation. It'll be interesting to see if they put out a statement explaining what happened. I think a lot of fans, myself, we want them to kind of admit they made a mistake rather than, oh yeah, well, you know, they didn't give us much of a choice and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that is the understanding for sure, that they weren't one of the ringleaders of it. I think that's why, you know, Guardiola was very disappointed, because when there was this Project Big Picture in October time, that was very much driven by United and Liverpool. And, you know, Guardiola was like, well, internally, he was like, well, we had nothing to do with this, did we? So forget it, it doesn't matter. This is them and it's gone away. But this time he was disappointed because although City didn't have much to do with drawing it up, obviously they went along with it this time. And I think that kind of internal kickback from him and the players has, you know, put the hole in the bottom of this. But yeah, they weren't one of the driving forces. They did sign up late and they're one of the first ones to pull out. I suppose, like, without sticking up for them, I suppose you can say they're not exactly wedded to this, and the strength of the feeling from fan groups and just normal fans without any affiliations to groups has been strong enough just to, yeah, persuade them to pull back out again. And who knows into what next? You know, who knows what these UEFA reforms are going to look like now? Who knows what their future is going to look like in terms of power in the Premier League? I'm sure it'll probably go back to how it was, actually, but yeah, it's interesting times.
Yeah, no, it sure is. I suspect you're a busy man with lots of pieces to write for The Athletic. Sam Lee, thanks so much. We'll let you go.
Yeah, good chat. Cheers, Joe.
Cheers.
Thanks very much, mate.
Bye.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. New normal, same old football. Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.